You're listening to the A Day in Progress podcast, episode 9.
Welcome to A Day in Progress, the productivity podcast for women working on themselves for themselves. We give you a glimpse into the daily routines of inspiring women, including the morning and evening regimes, productivity hacks, and planning tools that set them up for success. Now here's your host, journalist, copywriter, and editor of agirlinprogress.com, Emma Norris.
Yuki Thomas is the founder and CEO of Solara, Australia's leading plant-based meal delivery service. She worked in the corporate world for 10 years before noticing a gap in the market for healthy, natural and convenient ready-made meals. In today's podcast, I chat to Yuki about how she still finds time for hobbies and creative pursuits in her busy schedule, how she forms and maintains good habits, the Japanese self-improvement philosophy she lives by, and so much more. Hi, Yuki!
Hey, Emma, how are you going?
Good, thank you. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Not a problem at all. Very excited.
Excited to have you. You are the co-founder of Solara, which is a plant-based meal delivery service, which you co-created in 2017. So, yes. If you don't mind, just tell us a little bit about, I guess, what you were doing before that, how you started on the plant-based journey, and I guess what made you decide to start Solara, and I guess what you guys have done with it so far.
Sure. So maybe a little bit about what I was doing before that. Well, I've been in corporate for pretty much all my life. I started off in defense doing prototypes electronics for the Collins class submarines.
Wow. That's so different.
Random, not really related. My studies were in biomed and also criminal justice. Decided to go into corporate right after defense and spent about 10 years there. And I was working a really busy corporate role in construction. And I don't know, it got to a stage where I thought, you know what, I think I can be doing something way more fun with my time at this stage in my life. And I was just looking for different outlets to kind of use as a vessel for my creativity. And there was one day I was sitting in the car eating my plant-based lunch that I had made at home. And I thought to myself, you know what, everyone should be able to eat this, and I can't really find this anywhere else. You know, it's food that's good for you and it's good for the planet. So I thought, you know what, I'll create Solara so I can send food to myself. But I thought it might be really nice to be able to share that with everyone.
Amazing. And who's your co-founder?
My partner.
Oh,
my
cool.
Yeah, so we kind of launched it together. It was a bit of a, I guess, a homegrown type of idea. You know, exciting experience, something I've learned so much while I've been doing it.
Yeah, and I definitely want to ask you more about what it's like to start a business with your partner, because I can imagine it's a lot of fun. Probably not always easy.
Challenging times. I mean, you know, different ideas and discussing different things. But, you know, I guess it's about really creating a vision that you know works. And that's something that I wanted to do. And, you know, I guess the vision for Solara is that, you know, the first plant-based meal delivery company in Australia. You know, we wanted to make it so it was all natural, you know, no artificial colours or flavours, and being freshly made and, you know, packed with superfoods. And, you know, the whole vision was centralised around being sustainable and ethical. So that I thought, you know, everyone should be able to be a part of this. And that's why we created it.
Amazing. And how long have you been plant-based for?
Probably about 5 or 6 years now. I mean, in the beginning, it was a bit on and off. You know, my background is Japanese. I've got Japanese heritage. So there's not a huge amount of red meat that's eaten in Japanese culture. It's always been, I guess, a lot of fish, a lot of vegetables, yeah, a lot of rice growing up. So it wasn't a huge step for me, but it was still very challenging, even though I didn't eat a lot of red meat to begin with anyway. So yeah, that was my journey.
Yeah, cool. Let's get into your daily routine. So what time are you normally up in the morning?
I'm usually up around 6, 6:30. I wake up pretty naturally around that time, but because, you know, I'm human like anyone else, I guess on some days I'll be like, you know what, I want to stay in bed for another 15 minutes or so, but I usually try and get myself out of bed just so I can get started with the day.
Yeah, nice. And do you set an alarm?
I do set an alarm, but I usually wake up before my alarm anyway. So it's a little bit redundant, but just in case I have an off day where, you know, my brain's just not working right. Yeah, an alarm's always good to have.
Yeah, that's so good that you change your body to like naturally wake up that early. I feel like if I didn't set an alarm, I'd probably sleep till like 8 or something.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have to literally set 13 alarms. Like, I just scroll through my list of alarms and decide when I was going to wake up. Yeah. And it would take me 10 or 11 tries before I'd wake up. But that, I mean, that is influenced by so many things, whether you're sleeping right and eating right and stress and hormones and all sorts of things like that. So,
yeah, exactly. And what's the first thing you do normally when you wake up in the morning?
It depends on the day, but usually I try and make an effort every single day to get up, have breakfast, and then do about 20 to 30 minutes of stretching and yoga at home, depending on my schedule, but try and fit that in. And then I will spend about an hour and a half just on my laptop, just going through some of the tasks before I head into the office.
Yep. And do you use like an app for managing your tasks or pen and paper?
Well, I do have a couple of different methods to manage all of my tasks and figure out what I'm going to be doing. So I usually, I guess, set my intentions during the day, like in the morning while I'm doing yoga, and just set my mood as well. I use software like Asana and Trello. Trello is great because you can use it both on desktop and mobile, just for when you have like ideas on the go. And then I have a cool app called Streaks, which helps me kind of remember to take my vitamins and all sorts of things like that.
Oh, it's like a habit tracking one.
Yeah, it's like one of those. It's really cool. It just, I sometimes forget. I've got a really bad memory for these tiny things, and that really helps as well.
Yeah. Does it give you like notifications?
It does.
Like,
yeah, it's so
annoying. Oh, that's so good.
Just to make it go away.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, shut up. Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was just like you track it, but that's quite a good idea actually.
Oh, whoever created this software or app has done it in a way that it's just annoys you every 15 minutes or whenever you set the mind. So you do whatever you need to do to make it stop really yelling at you.
Yeah. Very clever. And for breakfast, do you normally have one of your Solara meals?
I usually do have a Solara meal, like a chia pudding, or have like one of the, you know, packs of Bliss balls, but I usually have a pea protein shake and I have plenty of fruit. So I think that's really good. I just find that it works for me to start my day like that.
Yeah, amazing. And do you have coffee as well?
You know what? I try and stay away from coffee these days. I remember back in uni, I kind of got a bit too addicted to coffee. And after about 3 or 4 in a day, I just end up being really jittery. So yeah. I kind of try and stay away from it, but I'll have a decaf every now and then. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And are you a big tea drinker? Like, we have like herbal teas.
I love tea. I mean, yeah, it's just, I'm a tea enthusiast. There's so many different types of tea in my house that my partner's just like, can you stop collecting so many bites? You never drink all of them at once. But every time I travel, every time, you know, I find a new tea brand or something like that, I'll definitely pick it back up.
Yeah, amazing. Oh, I was going to ask you about your meditation and stretching. So do you have like a set routine that you'll do for that?
It changes from, I guess, day to day. I mean, I do go to the gym as well. So a couple of times a week. So it really depends on how sore I am from the gym. Yeah. I try and give it all my all when I'm there. So there are some, obviously, positions that will be really difficult to do right after the gym. Yeah. Like
leg day. And so what sort of training do you do? Do you do like strength training or cardio?
Yeah, I do strength training. I mean, I'm a pretty small person. I'm a bit of a dweeb. So I'm trying to put on weight, you know, in a very healthy way, eat right, you know, hypertrophy, things like that.
Yeah.
Get my cardio, you know, in, make sure I've got endurance and things when I need to run up and down the stairs on a busy day.
Yeah. I feel like I used to be like all strength, like, or not all strength. I did all strength training. And then like anytime I'd have to do anything like cardio based, I'd be like, oh my God, this is horrible.
Like I had to run up this. I stopped doing cardio for a while. And this is a few years ago. And I had some really important meeting to go to. And I ran up like 2 flights of stairs. And I just couldn't breathe afterwards. And I thought, oh my God, if there was a zombie apocalypse, I would definitely die.
Yeah, the same. I think the conditioning is important, but I'm like, I just hate it.
Yeah, for sure.
And so do you normally have any sort of boundaries around like when you first check like your phone or social media in the mornings?
I do. I mean, I try to not use, I rarely use social media while I'm at work or in the office. I usually kind of check my phone, check my messages in the morning before I head out. And then while I'm in the office, I won't really be on social media unless, you know, it's on the Solara page or something like that. It has something to do with work. I try and stay as least distracted as possible. And I always allocate myself, you know, an hour or two in the evening so I can catch up with friends and see what they're doing and stuff like that.
Yeah. And do you keep, like, I tried to have a little stalk of you on social media before and I couldn't find you. I found someone who kind of looked like you, but I don't think it was. You kind of keep it quite for, like, personal sort of use. Like, yeah, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, for me, social media, I kind of use it. I only really use Instagram these days, and I keep that more of a gallery for my travels and things like that. You know, I've never really been a very good social influencer type of person. I kind of keep to myself a lot of the times. So I guess in that sense, you probably wouldn't be able to find me off the bat. But at the same time, you know, I kind of use the Solara page to really express as much of the social sort of creativity that I can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so you mentioned you've got a office in Sydney and you've got a team.
Yes.
How far is the office from where you live?
It's probably only about 10, 15 minutes. So I'm really lucky to live close to the office. It makes the commute so much easier. So I live just outside the city. So that's really good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And do you get the, like, public transport or do you walk?
I usually either catch public transport or I can, if I'm lucky on that day, I'll grab a lift from my partner. And that's always a really short ride anyway. So that's really good.
Yeah. And I was going to ask, like, do you, like, listen to music or podcasts on your commute? But I suppose it's not really that long of a commute.
Yeah, I don't really get enough time during my commute to do that. But in the time that I do get, I'm usually looking at videos of dogs doing really cute stuff. Or I'm reading articles on business, or I'm checking my emails. You know, I do from time to time check the Solara social media and maybe check my own, but it's not really enough time to really get anything done at that stage. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the cute dog videos is a great way to start the day. Like, why would you want to do anything else?
I'm subscribed to, like, every single, you know, subreddit, which is, you know, filled with dog videos. That's me. That's my life.
Do you have dogs?
I do. I have one dog that was actually dog napped by my parents.
Oh, so I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
And overseas, and he was a puppy. And then I came back after about 4 or 5 weeks and they had renamed him Tacos because he was half Chihuahua and decided that they were going to keep him. So now he lives with my parents and I go and visit.
Oh no. That means do you go and visit often, like, more often now that
I do.
The dogs
are. Yeah, I do. I mean,
that's probably their plan.
Exactly. I feel like it's a strategy for sure. Yeah,
very smart. And so I know an average day for you probably varies so much, but I guess what do your days normally look like? Is it sort of a mix of meetings and, like, recipe development, leading your team?
Yeah, so look, every day is so different. You know, I've got so many people in the team now that I'm really lucky to be able to kind of review a lot of the things that they're doing and for them to be kind of bringing new ideas to me. But I mean, as a business owner, my tasks are predominantly focused around hiring new staff, you know, managing and reviewing operations, managing the staff. I'll be in meetings, I'll be looking at reports and sitting down with my team to do some ideation and brainstorming. You know, I really love getting creative with marketing campaigns and product launches. And my favorite thing is probably testing the food.
Yeah, I'll bet. Is that a sort of daily thing? Like, have you got, like, a kitchen on site?
We don't have a kitchen on site. Our production facility is off site, but we actually have taste test meals come in every week. So we've got meals kind of rolling through, you know, at any day, usually at the beginning of the week. So we get to eat them and try them and send feedback. But it's always constantly happening.
That sounds amazing. And how many people are on your team?
Oh, it's growing. I think at this stage, probably about 20, 25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Gosh. And is that all, like, on site? Like, you guys all work in the same office?
Well, that's just in head office at this stage. So, and then the production facility, I mean, I can't even tell you at this moment. I mean, there's so many people down there. It's always grown. Day to day, it's different. So, yeah.
Amazing. And so do you use any sort of apps or tools to sort of, I know you mentioned, like, Trello. Is that sort of how you coordinate tasks with your team?
So I use Trello because it's really easy. It's easy to explain to my staff and it's easy for people to pick up and use. Asana is probably a little bit more complicated. That was introduced to me by a friend who's really about all these apps and integrations and things like that. It's really fun. It's great. It's a great, you know, program to use, but it can get really complicated. You know, it's, I guess Asana is one of those things that you use when you're collaborating with a lot of people in your team, but I probably would say that Trello is my favorite. Yeah. It helps me to visualize a lot of things. And
yeah, it's great for visual people.
Yeah, exactly.
You could Kanban kind of like, I don't know. Yeah. I know you can do that now on Asana, but I feel like Trello is built for that. And it's really
cool. I mean, Asana probably has a lot more capacity to kind of use with different types of departments and different types of schedules and things like that. But the way I work, I kind of segment my time each day to address the tasks based on priority. And then I section them off in order of department or vertical within the company. So by the time I finish my tasks, I've pretty much covered all the areas of my business and I've planned out what needs to be done for the following day or the week or the month.
Yeah, cool. And what about goals? Like, how do you set goals, like both personal goals and sort of company-wide goals? Are you someone who will like sit down and do that like once a month or how does that
work? So I usually review KPIs. I mean, I constantly review KPIs and we have weekly meetings. We've got, you know, meetings sometimes twice a week. You know, the WIC meetings are great because it allows me to kind of figure out where we're at, you know, if there's any obstacles that we need to kind of overcome. And I guess setting goals really depends on managing not only my own expectations, but the expectations of my staff as well and what our capacity would be to reach that at a certain time or a deadline.
Yeah, cool. And is travel a big part of what you do?
Travel is a huge part of what I do. I mean, Solara's, the menu was originally created in my kitchen. I was the only person cooking. So a lot of the inspiration came from things that I, you know, ate on my travels and recipes that I picked up from all the different places that I went. It has a huge influence for sure.
Yeah. And so how like often in a month would you normally be traveling?
I usually don't travel too much during the busiest parts of the year. I usually take a big chunk of time off at the end of the year. And that's where I kind of fit in like maybe 5 or 6 countries in that time.
Wow.
And just kind of smash through them. Just, you know, over Christmas when everyone else is kind of on holidays too, just so I can kind of get that in, but it not affect me being able to manage staff or, you know, the workplace and things like that.
Yeah, cool. And so does your partner work in the office with you as well?
No, he's got his own business elsewhere. So he's kind of doing his own thing.
Yeah. And do you guys have like home offices at home as well?
Our home is, I guess, an office as well. I mean, we try not to bring too much work home just because, you know, work-life balance is so important. You know, there are times where we'll be on the computer side by side kind of chatting about things and that's kind of what we do in the morning before I go into the office, just chat about how things, you know, are, or, you know, I guess what we're doing at that stage. And when I come back, it's pretty much no work to talk, you know, just free time after dinner and everything that needs to be addressed can be addressed in the office.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So is he still involved in Solara as well?
To a degree, not too much because he's got a bunch of other projects going on.
Yeah.
But he's always really interested in, you know, I guess, what our next move is. He's got some really cool ideas as well and he loves the food and he likes to, I guess, provide some suggestions on new products and things like that. Yeah. So yeah.
I was going to say it's great that you both own your own businesses and are part of that world because, you know, you get what it's like. And that
I mean, look, I've learned so much from him as well. And it, you know, having a business is starting one is really challenging. You know, you go into it thinking, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, you know, and very early on I was kind of a little bit lost as to, you know, my next move. But I guess learning and failing and trial and error is something that's so important because you get one step closer to what you do want as opposed to what you don't want.
Yeah, very true. And I guess how I feel like I kind of know the answer to this, but do you work more or less than you did when you were in corporate now?
I think I can read your mind and I think it's definitely more. Like it's not the same caliber, I suppose. I mean, previously working in corporate, you know, I was, you know, always really motivated to work in the role and loved what I was doing, but
you're never really working for your own dream. And when I started Solara, it was just so liberating to be able to work for my own dream and to be able to make those decisions and to have that autonomy. But it's also partly trusting your own voice and standing behind the decisions that you make and saying, you know what, if I'm going to have to work, you know, 18 hours today, I'm going to work 18 hours today.
Yeah, and you feel okay about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time. Now, at this stage of the business, you know, I have the pleasure to have, you know, I guess have all my staff on board who, you know, make the company. But in the beginning, it was definitely, yeah, it was really challenging. There was long hours involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you find when you started working for yourself, like obviously you've got a lot more control over your own schedule and your work to an extent, I guess it's
different. To an extent, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things that pop up sort of last minute that, I mean, I normally wouldn't do, but, you know, for the business, I will have to do that. I mean, everything for the business, my staff, supporting my staff, you know, comes first. So yeah, absolutely. If there's things that I kind of need to prioritize in that way, then I'll definitely do them. Yeah.
Yeah. And when do you normally fit in your workouts? Like, are you normally someone who works out at night or in the mornings?
I usually go in the afternoon. So luckily my gym is just around the corner. So I kind of duck out at around 2 or 3 when it's kind of dead in the gym.
Yeah,
so
I can get there. That's the
best
time to go.
Yeah.
I refuse to go at any other time now. I've like had it too good.
It's just so packed at every other time.
Oh, stressful. You can use
machines and everyone's in there. And yeah. So I usually try and go when it's really quiet. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And do you normally have like lunch? Like, do you normally take a lunch break or do you like eat at your desk?
When I can. Yeah, no, absolutely. I do take a lunch break. Some days when I'm super, super busy, I'll obviously eat at my desk, but I'm an advocate of not eating at desks. I think people should be able to step away and have that mental break from whatever they're doing on their computer. So yeah, I'll go for a walk or I'll grab some lunch outside or something like that, or I'll take my Solara meal and, you know, go for a walk with it, sort of thing. So yeah.
Yeah, nice. And do you normally listen to music or anything while you're working? I guess it depends what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, usually because we're an open plan office, you know, I like to have some tunes pumping in the background. You know, I'm always the one who's asking people to put music on. But usually it's something chill. You know, I'm happy to listen to whatever people want to listen to. But I love a good, you know, album of Blood Orange or something like that in the background. That's always a good thing.
Yeah, nice. And what's your sort of company culture like? Like, are you a sort of team that has a lot of like, I don't know, outings or like team building activities?
We do try and implement a lot of team building exercises. I mean, it's hard because we've got teams sort of here in head office and also at the production facility. So it's kind of hard to kind of get, you know, that many people in one place at one time. But we do a lot of creative art type team building things in the office, you know, pottery lessons outside, you know, whatever we can kind of get everyone in one place to do, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And so what do your work hours normally look like? Do you sort of have a sort of set time that you leave the office, or does it just depend on what's going on?
It kind of depends on what's going on. I kind of play it day to day, you know, hour by hour, I suppose. But usually I'm in at about 9:30 or so. You know, a lot of the times I'm the last one out. But, you know, if I can get out at around like 5:30 or 6, that's a good day.
Yeah, cool. And so what do your evenings normally look like? Is that sort of wind down, like no work time?
Yeah, I mean, I go, once I'm home, I'll probably, you know, just check my emails on my laptop, just make sure that there's nothing important. And pretty much after dinner is when wind down time happens. It's when, you know, we'll pop some music on, you know, I'll grab my Kindle or whatever book I'm reading. I'll go and inspect my plants, see if they need water, and just, yeah, maybe chuck on Netflix if there's something interesting to watch. But yeah, just kind of chill out after dinner.
Yeah, nice. And do you have dinner like at the table normally, or you like not watch Netflix while you eat?
We didn't have a table for a really long time. Yeah. So we were kind of sitting on the floor. We've just moved actually not too long ago. So all the furniture's kind of come in recently.
Yeah.
But now that I do have a dinner table, we do try and eat at the dinner table. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. And what shows are you loving on Netflix at the moment?
I'm actually watching this Korean drama called Coffee Prince. It's like a little bit of an old one, but I love K-dramas. I'm always watching a different one. That one's really super interesting.
What's it called? Coffee?
It's called Coffee Prince.
Oh my gosh, that sounds fascinating. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it is.
Is it like a crime sort of thing or like?
No, it's such a complicated, like just a typical Korean drama where it's this girl has been mistaken for a guy, but in order to get a job at this coffee place, she has to keep pretending to be a guy. So
that sounds amazing.
And then she falls in love with her boss and all this sort of stuff. So yeah, it's really funny.
That sounds hilarious. And do you listen to any podcasts when you have time to listen to podcasts?
Look, I have in the past, but not recently these days, mostly because I'm usually in the office and, you know, if I have something on in the background which is talking, it kind of distracts me a little bit. So I usually try to kind of wind down by reading, if anything. But I do have, you know, a few things on Audible that I listen to, history lessons, psychology, science, things like that, that are kind of interesting if I'm going for long drives and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, nice. And what sort of books do you like to read? Like, is it similar to those sort of things?
Yeah, I mean, I love reading, you know, a lot of self-help books. There are a lot of like motivational business books. You know, I'm reading Principles by Ray Dalio at the moment, which is a great read for anyone dealing with, you know, reality and trying to get what you want out of life. I really recommend this book to everyone, especially business owners, because it kind of delves into that area of things. But yeah, I mean, it can be a whole different range from, I guess, fiction to fantasy to, you know, something very basic like, you know, a psychology book or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, very eclectic then.
yeah, all over the place.
And I know you mentioned this with your morning routine, but is mindfulness a sort of, is that a big thing for you in your sort of daily routine?
Yeah, it's such a huge thing. You know, I guess in the morning, every morning I set my intentions and I decide that it's going to be a good day. And it's, look, I'm one of those people that, you know, it's really difficult to annoy me. I rarely ever get emotional about things.
Oh my
that
gosh,
I don't need
I wish
to.
I was you.
it's taken years and years of practice, but you know, I think when I was younger, I was never able to. I was always frustrated and whinging about things and stuff like that. But I get to a stage of my life where I thought, you know what, I'm just gonna let it go and I'm gonna decide that I'm gonna have a great day today. And you know, I know what I need to do and I know what I need to not, you know, enable myself to do. And for those reasons, yeah, I definitely set my intentions and say, you know, today's going to be a good day and I don't care what happens, it's going to be great.
Wow, that's amazing. And was there any sort of book or something that you read that sort of led to that change, like that made you stop being, I guess, so reactive?
It wasn't a book. I think it was more so life experience, just dealing with different situations. And, you know, everyone goes through those times in their life where they're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or, you know, I should have done things differently. And I think it's a lot of self-reflection where you look back and think, you know what, the next time this happens, I'm going to do this instead. And that just happens so many times that I guess over time I've incrementally taught myself to just kind of chill out.
Yeah, I love that. And I know a lot of people, I don't know if you're in your 30s or not, but I know a lot of people say that like in their 30s, they sort of stopped, like felt that shift in terms of just not caring as much about stuff.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm only 29 at this stage. Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say, I'm nearly there.
The same age. I'm 20. Yeah, I'm definitely nearly there.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, I kind of feel at times like I'm a bit of a granny. I'm just like, no, don't want to do that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, it does come with age and I think it comes with experience, but it depends on your personality as well. I've got, you know, heaps of friends who are older than me who are just, you know, they're kiddles and they're so much fun, but they're also a little bit reactive. Or, you know, there are people who are a lot younger than me who are, you know, super chilled out and, you know, super focused. Like yeah, it's really depends. Yeah,
very sure. True. And so do you sort of have I was going to ask you, like, once you check your emails, like, is that it? Like, are you sort of putting your electronics away?
Yeah, like it's like my phone, I might keep on me to like read articles and things like that, but I try to keep a few hours before bed without any, like, you know, TV on or electronics, just because it can affect your sleep sometimes. So I usually read or just listen to music, or, you know, having a chat with my partner, or, you know, doing something creative or something like that.
Yeah. What sort of creative things will you normally do?
I've been painting for pretty much the last 25 years of my life. So now that I've got the new place, I've got the easel set up and I'll be sketching or drawing or painting or doing something like that. Yeah.
That's amazing. And is sleep quality like a big thing for you?
It's a huge thing. I'm one of those people that if I don't get, you know, a good 9 or 10 hours sleep, I don't function right. And I have to have a really good quality sleep. Like, I am a very deep sleeper, but if I'm constantly awoken in the night or if I'm having a really bad quality sleep, then I'll be super tired the next day. So I try my best to, you know, make, I guess, arrangements so that I don't have coffee during the day after a certain time, or that, you know, I don't drink too much tea with caffeine in it, you know, after a certain time, and I don't get too overexcited about certain things like watching horror movies and things like that before I go to sleep. Otherwise, I'll never go to bed.
I know, I'm the worst for that. I'll watch like the most like, not horror stuff, but like thrillers or like crime documentaries like right before bed. And then I'm like, well, now I can't stop thinking about it.
I watched this series called Kingdom. Like, it was a foreign series, and it's about like it's really old. It's set in the Korean olden days, the era of some sort of empire, and it's like a zombie movie. I couldn't sleep right for the next like 4 or 5 days after watching that, so I've definitely decided to not watch zombie movies that night.
Probably a good idea. Do you track your sleep?
I used to, but I don't anymore. I used to track it with a Fitbit, but these days I think I've fallen into a pretty good routine where now it's kind of, you know, I know what time I need to be in bed. I know what I need to do to get a good sleep. You know, I just bought a new mattress. So, you know, all of these things to ensure I get a good sleep have been the decisions have been made. So I feel like at this stage I've got it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're pretty conscious about it then.
Yeah.
What time do you normally go to bed?
I'm usually in bed by about 10:30. So I'll just read or something for, you know, half an hour, and then I'll switch off the lights and I'm out like a light.
Yeah, nice. And are you and your partner on similar schedules?
Usually he's kind of, I wake up and, you know, he might be going to, you know, his office or something like that, or to the gym or whatever. And then when I'm home, he's usually home already. So it's good to kind of come home to your partner already there instead of waiting hours and hours and hours and you know, coming home late at night. So yeah, I'm really lucky for that.
Yeah, that's very true. Bit of a random question and maybe a bit of a hard one, but you mentioned you have Japanese heritage. Are you like half Japanese or like?
I am. So yeah. I'm half Japanese and half French, but I was born here.
Oh my God, that is the best combination.
It's the weirdest combination. I'm still trying to meet someone who's the same heritage as me so I can not feel so like so much of an alien. But I mean, for sure, it's a weird one. Yeah.
Are there any philosophies from like the Japanese or the French? Because they're both sort of cultures that I feel like they have really strong philosophies. People romanticize them a bit. But are there any philosophies that you've taken from either of those put in your own life or like daily routines?
Yeah. So I guess I follow more of the Japanese Kaizen philosophy, which is the self-improvement philosophy of, you know, doing things that you love and things that you're good at and things that you can get paid for. Yeah, that's the Ikigai. That is correct.
I love that.
So yeah, it's something that I kind of grew up with my parents kind of talking to me about, and, you know, they wanted me to be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. But, you know, having been exposed to the Ikigai philosophy, you could do anything so long as you fulfill those things and be happy and, you know, being fulfilled in your life.
Yeah. And do you feel like you found your Ikigai?
I feel like I have. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
that's amazing.
It's a really powerful thing to, at one stage, realize that you know what your purpose is. And before you find it, sometimes you feel really lost. But when you do, it's like no other. You're so focused on the next step. You know what you need to do. You're so happy doing it. And you kind of just, you have this new zest for life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, amazing. And it's like you said before, like you kind of don't mind putting in those long hours when you're working to your purpose and like what you're here to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is obviously a work-life balance type of thing, but, you know, when you're starting businesses or, you know, when you're putting different ideas into play, it sometimes requires more time in the beginning, for sure. Yeah,
definitely. And that brings me to my next question with the work-life balance. So what do you normally do on your weekends? Is that work-free time for you?
It is. I mean, sometimes it really depends. It depends on the weekend, depends on the weather, depends on whether it's summer, if it's winter. Usually I'm catching up with friends, or, you know, I'll head home to my parents and see my dog that they've kidnapped, or I'll be, you know, in the studio getting creative, or I love getting outdoors, doing something active and fun. Just fresh air is always really good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And are you from Sydney originally?
I am Sydney born and bred.
Nice. And do your parents, they live in Sydney or somewhere sort of around?
They do. No, they live in Sydney. Yeah. So I can, I'm always able to visit them. Yeah,
that's lovely. Sure. Cool. And so, yeah, what other sorts of things do you like to do when you're not working? So you mentioned painting. Anything else?
I like learning new things, actually. So every time I get the chance, if I'm able to kind of learn a new skill or a new hobby or, you know, something, I'll go out and try and figure out how to do it. I'm trying to learn Mandarin right now. So I've got lessons twice a week. It's so hard. It's like the hardest thing I've ever done in my whole life. There are so many characters, and like every single time I say it, it sounds exactly the same as the next one. It's really difficult. But a challenge like that is always fun. And, you know, getting out and doing like things like learning how to do ceramics, or, you know, I guess rock climbing was something that my partner introduced me to, and I always thought that was really scary because I've got a fear of heights, but learning to do that was really cool as well. So
yeah, I love that. And I love that you're sort of, you know, doing things that aren't work related, because I feel like it's so easy to just get, you know, do it like
burn out. You totally burn out if you don't sort of give yourself time to be a human being. I mean, you know, before I was a business owner, I was, you know, just like everyone else, just, you know, going to work and having, you know, things outside of my work life. And I didn't want to lose that, because the moment that you do, you know, you have there's no line between what you do for work and what you do outside of work. And if you're always working, then why are you working so hard when you never get a chance to really live?
Enjoy.
You know, there's no point. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. And have you ever sort of experienced that burnout yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, for sure. I think this is one of those things that I experienced kind of early on when, you know, I didn't have all the wonderful stuff that I have now, and I was kind of doing everything on my own. I was doing customer service and marketing and, you know, strategizing and doing all this stuff. And, you know, it got to a stage where I was like, I need a break. And, you know, I kind of stepped away and said, how can I do this in a better way? How can I work, you know, smarter, not harder?
And how did you do that? Was it like outsourcing or just looking at your like workflows?
Yeah, it was looking at workflows, implementing new processes, you know, definitely delegating to, you know, outsourcing certain things in the beginning. You know, I guess my problem is that I'm a little bit of a perfectionist in the sense that I'll try and get everything done myself. So yeah, learning to let go and learning to kind of trust someone else with it is definitely a way to relieve stress a little.
Did you find that when you made, like, it was like hard when you like sort of outsourced the first thing or like brought
something? Yeah, I mean, you're constantly checking, you're like, oh my God, are they doing the right thing? Yeah. Are they doing it how I would do it? I mean,
yeah. Does it get easier though? Like after
that? It does. Yeah, absolutely. Like when you work with people that, you know, their vision is aligned with yours and you know, you make the necessary steps to ensure that, you know, they meet all the criteria that you need for a successful outcome. Yeah. Like, you just got to chill out and let them do what they need to do. You know, sometimes, you know, it got to a stage where I was like, I'm being crazy. I just need to let this go and let them do what they're going to do.
Let them do their thing, yeah.
Yeah, let them do their thing and just kind of, you know, not be involved.
Yeah.
And that kind of worked. It was a process for sure. Yeah.
Amazing. And what are your three non-negotiables for a productive and happy day? It's hard, I know.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, the first one is definitely to set positive intentions for the day. I mean, that's like a number one rule for me. If I'm going to wake up in a crappy mood or have, you know, negative emotions or thoughts, then of course the rest of my day is probably going to go down that route as well. So that's number one. The second one is to always eat right. have a healthy, nutritious breakfast or lunch, you know, you can't expect your body to perform at its best or your brain to perform at its best if you're not feeding it the right fuel. And the third one, I guess, is to not take life too seriously. I mean, you never know what's around the corner. You know, I guess if you take life too seriously, sometimes you can't step away and you make judgments based on being too emotional or too attached to things. You know, a lot of the times I have a philosophy that if it's not going to matter in a year, it doesn't matter now.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it's like nothing really that matters in a year.
Yeah, I mean, you know those times where you really stress out about something and it's just like, oh my God, I can't deal with this. And then you sit back and you're like, is this going to matter next week? You know, is this going to matter in a year's time? Is this going to matter in 2 hours' time? You know, I guess to just be able to, I guess, be objective like that. Yeah, for sure. That helps.
Yeah, I love that perspective as well. Amazing. And so where can everybody find you and Solara online?
We are at www.solara.com.au and it's Solara, like soul. Yep. So there's a U in there. And you'll probably find me somewhere in Bunnings looking at plants or at a nursery. That's probably where you'll find me.
Good answer. I'll probably see you there. I'm always looking
at plants. Yeah, I know, right? And then we're on a date, no worries.
And then they die 2 weeks later.
Don't worry, there's always more where they came from.
Yeah, very true. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's been such a delight.
Amazing.
Talking to you.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for tuning in to the A Day in Progress podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure you subscribe on iTunes or Spotify and leave us a review. And if you're after more life, career and health advice for women working on themselves for themselves, make sure you head on over to agirlinprogress.com to check us out. We'll